the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I will admit that I've always struggled with this parable. I mean, give me mustard seeds, prodigals, and Samaritans any day. I love those stories. But it's probably because this whole passage has always been a bit frustrating to me. I begin to wonder if it is because it hits a bit too close to home. But did Jesus really say that the tax collectors and the prostitutes are getting into the kingdom of God before others? I know. That was Jesus' nature, always caring for the despised ones like tax collectors and prostitutes. But really, if they get ahead of the chief priests and elders, those who are living righteous lives, those who are serving God, then they could get ahead of people maybe even like me. If so, then I've always wondered if all this work I've been putting into being a good girl and trying to avoid sinning isn't really going to pay off, and maybe I should go out and sin some so I got a place at the head of the line. Thank you for laughing. I was telling a joke. But I've been reading over and praying with this passage for the last few weeks after years of pretty much just avoiding it. And I think I begin to understand what Jesus' message is to his listeners and to perhaps us. The chief priests and elders came to Jesus wishing to challenge his authority in front of the people, and instead were themselves backed into a corner when they could not answer when Jesus asked them from where John the Baptist's authority came. Jesus reminds them, these righteous people, that they failed to hear and to believe and to be changed by the righteous words of John, whereas the tax collectors and the prostitutes heard and believed and were changed by John's teachings. Because of their repentance, their change of heart, Jesus points out that the standing of the righteous people and the despised people before God has been reversed, granting the tax collectors and the prostitutes closer access to God. It is this change of heart that Jesus focuses on in this passage, the action required when encountering the good news. The short parable in the middle of this dialogue illustrates this. Too often I have read this parable, and in my little good girl righteous mind, I see that both sons were bad. I mean, they were both disrespectful to their father. Yeah, the first son went out and eventually did what his father asked, but he should have said yes right from the beginning, don't you think? But thank goodness, God's righteous mind is a lot broader than mine. It is the change of heart, just as the first son did in this parable, which is important to God. I would imagine that at some point in our lives, we had some change of heart, or we wouldn't be sitting here in church this morning. But if you are at all like me, there seems to be the need to undergo a continual conversion of the heart. I think that's the only way we could respond to St. Paul's charge in our reading from Philippians to let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That's a tall order. That would be a colossal change, at least for me. But I suspect that this sort of change is a lifelong process, full of small and daily incremental steps, small and daily changes. Jean-Pierre de Caussade was a 17th century Jesuit priest and spiritual director who believed that the present moment is a sacrament and that a willingness to be present to the present brings us closer to God. This sounds so radically countercultural to our modern busy and distracted lives, doesn't it? De Caussade wrote, "Those who have abandoned themselves to God receive from him exceptional and miraculous gifts by means of the most ordinary, natural, and chance experiences in which there appears to be nothing unusual. The simplest sermon, the most banal conversations, the least erudite books become a source of knowledge and wisdom to these souls by virtue of God's purpose. This is why they carefully pick up the crumbs which clever minds tread underfoot. For to them, everything is precious and a source of enrichment." What are those crumbs dropped in our lives that we should be seeing, slowing down, picking up, and relishing as spiritual nourishment in our daily lives? What are those moments of conversion, changes of heart, that would continue to draw us closer to God? They could be like the bells of the monastery or the cloister that call the monks and nuns to prayer throughout the day, calling their hearts and minds from their daily activity to prayer into the presence of God. What could be those bells, those moments of daily conversion for you that remind you to stop, pay attention, and beware of God in your life at that moment? For one friend of mine, it is getting a shot of the sun's ray in her eye as she goes in and outdoors during her busy day that brings her attention to seek God. For another friend, a very practical friend, it is setting his phone to chime twice during his workday to remind him to turn away from his work and to be present to God for a few moments. For me, it was a railroad track. Several years ago, I had gotten a new job in Houston that required me to commute over a very busy railroad line smack dab in the middle of the city, and invariably, I would get caught by a train as I was either coming or returning home from work. Because I can be somewhat of a freak about time, I would always groan and whine and complain, stuck in the car and watching the train endlessly pass by. It would take forever. Until one day, I realized that this could be a moment of conversion, a crumb that, should I choose to pick it up, could be a source of spiritual enrichment. Me in my busy life. Me in my schedule. So I began to change. Whenever I would hear the clang, clang, clang of the railroad warning and see the railway barrier arms begin to go down, I would smile, choosing to see that this could be a moment of grace rather than frustration, where God might be whispering to me to slow down, breathe, enjoy. Eventually, I began to laugh whenever I got stopped, and I began to experience joy in those moments at the realization of God tapping me on the shoulder, reminding me to slow down and savor the sacrament in the present moment. It has been a long time since those days of that particular commute, but all I have to do now is merely hear a train in the distance, and I experience joy. There is some element of choice when it comes to change, an action required on our parts whether the change we confront is major, like it was for the tax collectors and the prostitutes, or whether it is seemingly small in scope. Yet it is important to recognize that it is God who is at work. Paul ends our passage from Philippians by saying, "It is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." It is God dropping those crumbs for us, working in us, which enables us to stop, be present, and daily make the change in our lives that draws us closer to God. Every moment can be sacramentalized. Every moment can be experienced as holy.